Join Glenn Bleakney on The Making of a Prophet as we explore the hidden process God uses to prepare, refine, and empower those He has called. Join the community at themakingofaprophet.org.
We're going to be talking about moving into God's full purpose for your life. And I'll actually say purposes, that God has purposes, but there's a major overarching theme. There's a meta-narrative, if you want to say, of what God actually wants to do with your life. And the Bible is very clear that you were created in Christ Jesus, is what it says. But then it says for good works. So that speaks of your identity created in Christ Jesus, but also your purpose, your destiny, what God's called you to. So we want to look at this today, and this teaching is actually predicated on a book that I just finished writing, is coming out. It's called Unsettled, The Unexpected Path to God's Purposes. And I just saw a typo on the cover there. We'll fix that. But the fact is, God has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life, okay? It's not that we would just wander aimlessly in the wilderness, but that we would come into that purpose. And that's where we're going to start today, and we're going to head down that direction. I believe by the end of the Zoom meeting, you're going to have unusual prophetic clarity on some specific things that you need to do in terms of recognizing what maybe what's been hindering you, as well as how you can break through and cross over. So this, some of this content is from my book, some of it is not, but I want to encourage you to grab a copy. You can pre-order it, read a free chapter on unsettledbook.com. It's currently available on Amazon. In regardless of your country, you can get it on Amazon. In U.S. dollars, because we publish in the U.S., it's $4.99 if you pre-order it. And that's the ebook, the Kindle version. So you can pre-order that. Comes out on, here's the good news, it's actually the 17th of August that it drops in North America, that side of the world, because it's published in the U.S. So we actually changed it because we wanted it to be on the, we wanted it to be actually available. Yeah, I think I am on full screen mode. So yeah, you just need to change that where you are. Yeah, I'm on full screen, right guys? You can see me. I'm highlighted, am I? Yeah, thank you. Yeah. All right, so if you want to grab a copy of the book, it's available the 17th of August, North America, that side of the world, I would assume Europe as well, Africa, and then over here on this side of the world, in Australia, it's the 18th of August, okay? And you can get it paperback, hardcover, or you can also get it as the ebook. And it's available on audiobook as well, on Spotify, it's available, and it's available on some other platforms as well, Google, Apple as well, the audiobook too. So I pray that it blesses you. We've had some people read it and make comments that it's really ministered to them, and I'm going to share a little bit of my story today and why we actually wrote this book, and I hope it encourages you as well as gives you some strategies. As one of my friends said, Dr. Simon Breaker in the UK, he said, the book Unsettled is actually prophetic and apostolic. It's prophetic because it gives you insight into the season we're in. There's just a lot of transition, and good transition, may I say. So you may not think it's good. You may feel confused, disoriented, but ultimately God is doing good. So trust Him and cooperate with Him, and we'll get into that today. How do we actually do that? So it's apostolic because it provides us strategies how to break through as well. So just a sneak peek for you guys, we actually have a devotional version of the book coming out as well. That'll be out in October. It's called Unmapped, Following God When You Cannot See the Way. So this is going to be helpful. It's a 40-day devotional with scriptures. It's based on the book Unsettled. So yeah, thank you. And this is something new for me in terms of a direction I feel God's calling me to go. And some of you guys, if you're familiar with our ministry, there were years where we were known for ministering in the prophetic. Obviously, teaching's always been a big part of that. But signs and wonders, miracles, as we itinerated to many nations of the world. And we still love that, and we still feel called to do that. But I really recently, just recently, felt the Lord say, I want you to raise up a people who really will represent me well, be my voice, carry my presence, and be formed in Christ's likeness. So I launched my Substack, or should I say relaunched my Substack, under a new name. And we have an Instagram profile as well that you could follow if you like. It's called The Making of a Prophet. And we're going to be going on this journey. This is what Unsettled is about, the making of a people, not just a prophet. But we're all called to be prophetic in the sense that we are called to hear God's voice, receive revelation from him, dreams, visions, but ultimately be led by the Holy Spirit in whatever form that takes shape. And so we carry his presence and we speak on his behalf. Prophetes in Greek means to speak on behalf of another. So it's a very powerful thing. So I want to encourage you to join our community if you've not done so. New website, head over to makingofaprophet.org. Makingofaprophet.org is the actual website. And just sign up. It's free. If you'd like to become a monthly subscriber, it's $9.99. And I'll give you access to our notes from these meetings, additional information. So it's only $9.99 a month. You can jump on there and grab that. And we'll also have videos we're dropping, different things that you can get access to. And again, new Instagram, just head over or look for Making of a Prophet. So just that's it on Instagram, and follow us. I'd appreciate that. Some of you guys are aware of the fact that we are now offering training. We've actually got some people in the Zoom meeting that are part of Sent College. That's our new school of ministry that we launched back in February of this year. And we're registered in the United States in the state of Texas. That's where our headquarters is, really, for Awake Nations globally. And Australia is definitely the place we are and where we feel called in this season as well. But we want to encourage you guys to check out Sent College. We offer Associate of Ministry degree, Bachelor of Theology, Bachelor of Ministry, and Master of Divinity. And we're about to be approved for our Master of Theology and our Doctorate of Ministry as well. We're in the process right now. We're recognized under what's known as a state exemption in Texas that we can offer these degrees. And super affordable. It's $150 per module. That's it. And then if you don't want the actual degree or credits, you can study as an audit student. So you just jump on the Zoom meetings. Right now, we're doing every Thursday night at 6 p.m. We do 5 consecutive weeks, cover a lot of territory. And then we're looking at, as we develop and get more interest in other parts of the world, and starting other cohorts as well. So, for example, in America, Canada, the Caribbean, et cetera, that part of the world, and Europe, Middle East, Africa as well. Lastly, watch Awake Nations TV. That's our new platform, awakenations.tv. Go there and you can watch a lot of our teachings. There's stuff for kids. It's amazing. There's a lot of, it's all free. AwakeNations.tv, head over. And at the bottom, if you scroll down to the bottom of that page, you can download our apps. We have Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Fire, Google TV, and then we have apps for cell phones or mobile devices as well, iPads, Android, etc., tablets. So yeah, and again, download a free chapter of the book, Unsettled, at unsettledbook.com. Guys, it's coming out. It's going to be a blessing to you. I really believe that, and I'm super excited about that. All right. One other thing we're doing is we are going to be giving away multiple copies of my book for free today. Here's how, and let me qualify that, ebook, okay? Not paperback or hardcover. It's just too expensive to send it through the post. But if you would like to be entered into really a draw to receive a free copy of Unsettled, here's what you need to do. Send an email to admin at awakenations.org. admin@awakenations.org, and put Unsettled in the subject line. Okay, so admin@awakenations.org, put Unsettled in the subject line, and you will be entered into a random drawing, and we'll send out a copy through Amazon. You'll get an invitation. You'll actually get, on the day of release, you'll actually get a copy of the book that way. So thank you. And hey, would you leave a review? That's really super important on Amazon, really important, but you can do it on other platforms as well. So we appreciate that. All right. Thanks, guys, for the preliminary. And we're going to jump in. Thank you for joining us wherever you're from, Africa, India, the Caribbean, North America, Australia. Anyone else? Have we missed any parts of the world? I see different people here. So good to have you guys with us. And let me encourage you, if after today's teaching session you go, yeah, this is really helpful, I want to encourage you. We're going to do this on a monthly basis, and I'm going to be teaching through this whole process of actually experiencing breakthrough and how we move into God's purpose and plan. Again, a lot of the content that I'll be sharing in today's session as well as ensuing sessions is part of my book, but not all. So check out scentcollege.com as well, guys. It's awesome. I want to encourage you to be part of it. We're new module on the 20th of August on discipology. Discipology is going to rock you. It's the way Jesus made disciples, and it's so good. It's life-changing how to be a disciple and how to make disciples. We've done a lot of things in the church, but the main thing, was it Stephen Covey said, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing, and discipleship is really what the Great Commission is all about. So, yeah, sign up. You can just head over to the website, scentcollege.com, and you can make payment right through the website as well. We'll send you all the documents you need, the learner guide. You'll get access to the videos for life. We do 10 sessions typically, so 5 Thursday nights, 2 sessions each evening as well. So be great to have you guys on there with us. All right, so we're going to start off today in a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's found in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, those two verses. So I love this particular translation. It's the WEB. By the way, WEB, I'm really impressed. It's a modern release of the American Standard Version, which is such a literal translation. American Standard Version is a literal translation. So WEB is modernized that. It's a very literal translation, and it's public domain, which means there's no copyright on it. So really, really cool. We can quote it and put it in books and everything. But let's start off with this verse. I'll read. It says this: "We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose." Wow, that's key. We love God. A lot of people say, yeah, I love God. I love Jesus. You're called according to his purpose. Don't forget that. And then verse 29, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined." What did he predestine? Those he foreknew to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Wow. This is actually quite deep, and I think it's become rather cliche to quote these verses, you know, oh yeah, all things work together for good, and so on, like, I lost my job, or something happened in life, and I know God's just going to turn around and bless me and take care of that. And there's truth to that. God is our provider. He is the one who opens things up. But that's not what this verse is talking about. For those of you who've studied with us in Scent College, we just finished a module on hermeneutics, studying scripturally, exegetically, making sure that context is king, right? So context really rules how we interpret scripture. There's literary context, there's historical context, etc. So in the literary context, you see that Paul is talking about the fact that as Christians, we go through difficulties, hardship, we're persecuted, etc. But ultimately, all things work together for good, regardless of what we go through in life. If we love God and we're called to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. So how do all things work together for good? Well, verse 29 is very clear. It actually conforms us to the image of the Son. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So Paul says God is able to take all things and work them together for good in the lives of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So the disruption that you may have experienced in life is not necessarily good, it's not pleasant, but God still can work through it. Rejection isn't good, but God can still redirect us through those things. The loss is not necessarily good, but again, God can use it to loosen our grip on something we were never meant to carry into the next season. The delay, the waiting, may not feel good, but God can use it to form the character, wisdom, and capacity required for what comes next. So the key point is simply this: nothing surrendered to God is ever wasted. And may I put it this way, nothing surrendered to God has to be wasted. Now, in the scripture, do you know there's over 8,000 promises in the Bible? That's amazing. Over 8,000 promises. And for every problem we face, every challenge in life as believers, the truth is God has a promise. So just say that. For every problem, there's a promise. For every problem, there's a promise. But often, for every promise, there's a process. There's a process as well. So God is faithful to his promise. Absolutely. I love all of the different verses when you look through that lens and you see God's part is the promise, bringing it to pass. And he's faithful to it. But we have a role and a responsibility, which is to engage in the process, to be on the journey. So take a scripture like Matthew 6, 33, right? We're very familiar with that verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So in that verse, we see a promise. The promise is from God. It's his responsibility. The onus rests upon him to bring it to pass. That promise is this, that all these things will be added. In the context of provision, it's what he's talking about, that God will take care of you. He's faithful. That's his promise. Okay. But then there's a process, and the process is simply this. We are called to seek first his kingdom and righteousness. And when we go on that journey, and when we make that our aspiration in life, then we actually can have full confidence that God's problem, the problem we're facing, will be resolved as a result of God's faithfulness and his promise in his word to us. So we see this in Romans 8, 28 and 29. The call here is not simply to solve a problem in the sense of, well, yeah, if you had a difficulty or you're struggling or you need an open door, God will take care of that. Yes, but God is not only concerned about where we're going, he's deeply concerned about who we are becoming on the way. Say that again. God is not only concerned about where we're going, but he is deeply concerned about who we are becoming on the way. So he's not merely bringing us into a promise. He's forming within us the very character of Christ, conformed to the image and likeness of Christ, that we can carry that promise faithfully. So God's purpose has both a destination and a formation. A destination and a formation. He's leading us somewhere, but he's also doing something within us as we travel. That's the important thing. And this brings us to a question that sounds so simple, but it's really the question beneath every other question. This is really the decisive factor on whether or not we're going to step into the fullness of what God has intended for our lives. And the question is this: are we committed to the purposes of God for our lives? Do we truly want his will above all else? Not his will as long as it agrees with our plans. Not his will as long as it keeps us comfortable. Not his will as long as it preserves every relationship, every opportunity, and every structure we become accustomed to. Do we want his will even when it cuts in on our plans? When it disrupts us? Do we want his will when it closes one door before another opens? Do we want his will when it requires us to release something that was once fruitful but is now no longer our assignment? Do we want his will when it leads us through a season we did not anticipate and would have not chosen for ourselves? Until that question is settled, we're not ready to move forward. We may ask God for direction, but we will keep filtering his answer through our preferences. We may pray for clarity, but what we really want is divine approval for a decision we've already made. We want God's endorsement on our plans, our purpose. The Puritans used to say this, in this way back in the 1600s, I believe it was. They would say this. They would say, our biases, he said, bribe our discernment. Our biases bribe our discernment. So we're not able to see clearly what God wants if we already have our plans, our preferences, and so on. And we're looking through life through that filter. So the will of God cannot remain one option among many. At some point, we must place our yes on the altar to whatever you want, Father, whatever you desire. So here's a key scripture we're going to read. It's in John's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 16 through 18. Jesus had been approached and questioned about his authority. And it's really, really powerful here because what we see is Jesus says, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. Now listen to this. If anyone desires to do his will, he will know about the teaching, whether it is from God or whether I'm speaking from myself. If anyone desires to do his will, he will know about the teaching, whether it is from God or if I'm speaking from myself. And then the next verse, he says this. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true. That word is powerful. And no unrighteousness is in him. Wow. So notice the order here. Notice the sequence. Jesus did not say, if anyone understands everything, has full revelation, can see the way forward clearly and unequivocally, then that person will be willing to obey. Now, he said that the willingness to do God's will must proceed and literally predicates and opens the way for discernment. We must be willing to do his will. Now, here's a scary passage in the Bible. We're going to look at two examples found in the major prophets here. Ezekiel, He gives us the other side of the truth. This is found in Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 4 and 5. Let me read it to you. Ezekiel 14, 4 and 5. Therefore, speak to them and tell them, the Lord Yahweh says, every man of the house of Israel who takes his idols into his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, then comes to the prophet. I, Yahweh, will answer him, therefore, according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are estranged from me through their idols. Now, you can look at that, obviously, in different translations, where it may be even a little clearer to perceive. But ultimately, what he's saying is this, that it's possible to come to God, to the Lord, asking for a word while already carrying an idol in our heart. And an idol is what we put above God's will and his purpose for us. I've seen it when it comes to relationships, people pursuing relationships, they get themselves in trouble. They run ahead of God. Can I show you here? I believe I have shown you here, but can we just look at this and just double click on it a bit? Because what we see here actually is the reality is that you can become deceived, that God answers you according to the idols of your heart. In other words, whoa, but God told me. There's a story about the kings. One is Ahab and one is Jehoshaphat. And they're seeking, Ahab is seeking a word from his prophets, and they were false prophets. And what ends up happening is he inquires of all the false prophets whether he should go to battle, whether he'll be successful or not. And they're all going, yeah, go, God is with you. You'll defeat the enemy. You'll be victorious. And then Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, who has a heart for God, even though he's compromising at this time, through an alliance that was really not good, he actually says, is there not a prophet of the Lord that we can consult rather than all these prophets of Baal and others? And Ahab answers, he goes, yeah, there is. There's this one guy, but I hate him because he always prophesies evil. And I don't like him. And Jehoshaphat essentially says, just let's hear from him. Give him the platform. Give him the mic. And he prophesies and shockingly, he tells the king the same thing. He tells Ahab exactly what the false prophets did. Yeah, go ahead. Go into battle. You're going to win. And Ahab knows he's not speaking truthfully. And he ends up like, come on now, this is unusual. You don't say this. You always tell me the truth. So he knows in his heart that he's not endorsing his own plans. And so he says, all right, how many times must I ask you to swear to tell the truth? So finally, the prophet goes, all right, if you want to know the truth, here's the truth. Go ahead, go to battle. You'll be killed. You'll die in battle. It's a terrible thing. But the point I'm trying to make here, guys, is that we can come to God with that type of predetermined agenda. Our when we approach God and our answer is predetermined, we're not truly seeking his will. We're asking him to endorse our desire. So we cannot discern God's will clearly while insisting that he endorses our own. So before asking, Lord, what are you saying? We should also pray, Lord, search my heart, expose every desire, fear, ambition, offense, comfort, or relationship that I placed above obedience to you. See, sometimes we're waiting for God to give us the entire map before we obey, but God is waiting for us to surrender our will so that we can correctly recognize his voice. And this is where the journey begins. So we really need to pray, Father, whatever you want, wherever you lead, whatever you ask me to release, and whatever you ask me to embrace, my answer is yes. Yes, Father. That doesn't mean that we'll understand everything immediately. It doesn't mean that we'll have full clarity. But it means the deepest issue has been settled. We belong to him, and our lives are available for his purpose. This is a powerful reality. And there's another example of this that I'll refer you to, and we can look at it. You can look at it in your own time, but it's actually found in Jeremiah chapter 42, I believe it is. Let me see if I can find this. I've got it in my notes here somewhere. In Jeremiah, where the people, after the captivity and the city of Jerusalem had fallen, and they come to the prophet Jeremiah, and essentially what they're asking him for is, hey, Jeremiah, should we go to Egypt or should we stay here? And it's actually found in Jeremiah 42, and this remnant approaches the prophet and asks him, Jeremiah, seek God. Should we stay or should we go to Egypt? So what ends up happening is Jeremiah the prophet responds to them, and he says, I've heard you. Behold, I will pray to the Lord your God according to your words, and it will happen that whatever thing the Lord answers you, I will declare it to you. I will keep nothing back from you. And the people, this remnant, they respond and they say to Jeremiah, may the Lord be a true and faithful witness among us if we don't do according to all the word which the Lord your God sends you to tell us. Listen to this. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, whether it's favorable or unfavorable to us, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send you, that it may be well with us, that it might go well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. So they said all the right things. Show us the way. Tell us what to do. Whether it seems good or bad, we'll obey. We'll listen. But the problem is they had already decided that they wanted to go to Egypt. And so when God's answer did not agree with their preference and their predetermined plans, their supposed surrender, boom, disappears. So Jeremiah confronts them. You can read it in Jeremiah 42 through 19 through 22. And the Lord has spoken concerning you, remnant of Judah. Don't go to Egypt. Know certainly that I've testified you to you today, for you have dealt deceitfully against your own souls. And the Hebrew, it literally means that you're duplicitous. You have a divided heart, or you're a hypocrite in your heart is what it literally means. Okay, so you've dealt deceitfully against your own souls, for you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, pray for us to the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord our God says, so declare to us, and we will do it. And so Jeremiah goes, I've declared it to you today, but you've not obeyed the Lord your God's voice in anything for which he sent me to you. Now, therefore, know certainly that you will die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence in the place where you desire to go to live. And then, obviously, their response in the next chapter, 43, 1 through 4, is amazing. So when Jeremiah finished speaking to all the people, all the words of the Lord, in which the Lord God had sent him to them, all of the words, then it says here that the remnant, certain leaders, actually said this, you speak falsely, Jeremiah. The Lord our God has not sent you to say you shall not go into Egypt to live there, but Baruch, the son of Neriah, has turned you against us. So the blaming others. To deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they may put us to death or carry us away captive to Babylon. Then it says, so Jehohanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces and all the people didn't obey. They did not obey the Lord's voice to dwell in the land of Judah. And suffice to say that it did not go well with them. In the book Unsettled, there's actually a chapter that deals with paying the price of refusing to follow God's leading. And I just want to say that to you because there is a price when you run ahead of God. And honestly, I have done that myself more than once, too often, and it's been terrible. It's been disastrous at times. And there's times when God has been good. And to this day, there's things that I fully don't understand Why did, you know, I only stay in this assignment for this long? Why did that door close? Why did that relationship dissolve? Why is it that, I had my own plans that I was going to settle in a particular place, but the Lord actually said no. He unsettled me. He unsettled us. And he said, no, I've got a different plan for your life. So we'll look at that. And just a bit of a disclosure here. Not everyone is called to just be uprooted and move and then move to another place and move to another place. There are particularly, like obviously the Apostle Paul, his ministry was very different. He was taking the gospel to the unreached peoples of the world. He was very much an itinerant minister, very translocal, and God did call him to different places. So when we talk about God unsettling us, there's this restlessness that we experience. Can I tell you that the goal of restlessness is very simple, to lead us into rest. And that rest is actually really important, and all too often, it actually involves alignment with the people. It's an important thing because God has not called us to do the journey alone. In fact, that's another chapter. So God actually moves us. He goes before us. He does specific things, but ultimately he wants to bring us from restlessness to rest. And the chapter here is, chapter 11 is the price of staying put. Chapter 12 is the gathering of the scattered. So ultimately when God scatters and he uproots you, and can I tell you, just speaking from what's happening here in Australia at the Sunshine Coast at Awake Nations, God is gathering people, but there's been a scattering. And so we have had, even in the past 30 days and still in process, people move here from different places, parts of Australia, other states, other cities, and it's amazing. God is bringing people together and he's speaking to them. And there's been this sense of he's unsettled. But ultimately, guys, it's not healthy for us to just never find a place to settle. That's not healthy. You may be itinerant. God may send you out for assignments and you do things like Paul did and other apostles in the New Testament. But he wants you to have a family. He wants you to settle. And that's really, really important. You need to be part of a community. And one of the coolest things right now, and I kind of get myself in a little bit of trouble probably for saying this, with some pastors at least, is that the idea of a local church is definitely, God wants you to be part of a local church, right? The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling together of yourselves. That's very important. However, can I say that you have to find the right local church? You have to find the right spiritual family. And we have people that honestly are connected to our ministry that really aren't in a place geographically where they can attend our services, be part of our community, but they're leaning in and there's really, at least what I'm being told, nothing where they are that really imbibes the New Testament culture, you know, the ways of the Lord. And so we get that. And we have a luxury today of actually doing things online. Like right now, we've got different nations gathered together. And some of you guys, you have churches that you're part of. Maybe you lead a church. Whatever is, the bottom line is, God wants to connect you with others. And if you're a leader especially, you need others who can come around you and strengthen you and help develop you. And that's for all of us. We all need that. So I just want to give that kind of disclosure there and just get it out of the way. Let's talk about being stuck. Hell in the hallway. When you feel stuck and you're not able to move forward. An example that we mention in the book, of course, is Abraham, Sarah, but Abraham's father was the one who originally received the call to leave the land that he was in. His name was Terah. And we can read about this in Genesis chapter 11. Okay, so you may be someone, you've begun on the journey, but you feel that you become stuck somewhere between what God called you out of and what he's called you into. Now, again, this is a process, this is a journey, so we need to be patient and recognize that we're in a process, that we're being processed, that God is doing something in our lives. But if you feel like I've moved a certain distance, and again, I'm not talking about geographical here exclusively. You may be on a spiritual journey and you're just saying, you know, I'm not sure what God is doing. I feel there's more. I feel I have a greater purpose or calling in my life, and I'm not sure what it is. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm trying to underscore right here, right now. So you've made sacrifices. You've walked away from things that you knew God was calling you to forsake. But yet you're still kind of like, where am I? I'm not where I was, but I'm not where I need to be. Okay? You've not fully entered into what God has for your life, he intended. So this is what we see in the story of Terah, the father of Abraham. Genesis 11, 31 and 32. Terah took Abraham, his son, Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife. They went from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. Notice that. They leave Ur to go into the land of Canaan. They came to Haran and lived there. Then it says the days of Terah were 250 years. Terah died in Haran. The text says Terah left Ur to go to Canaan. Canaan was the intended destination, but Haran became the place where he settled. Eventually, Haran became the place where he died. This is sobering. It's possible to leave the old place, but never enter the promised place. It's possible to make progress, but mistake progress for arrival. Haran was not Ur. Terah had genuinely moved, but Haran was not Canaan either. Okay? Some of us are not living in outright rebellion. We're simply living in a halfway place. We've gone far enough to say that we've obeyed, but not far enough to possess what God promised. God spoke to Abraham after Terah had died. Genesis 12, 1 through 5. Now the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country and your relatives and your father's house and go to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who treats you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord told him. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, Lot, his brother's son, all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they went to go into the land of Canaan. They entered into the land of Canaan. They obeyed. They arrived at the destination. So this is a statement that we can easily overlook. They entered into the land of Canaan. Abraham didn't merely leave. He entered. He arrived. So important. God doesn't just want us to just be in flux. He's called us to actually arrive. There's a place, and we'll look at what that represents, because this is obviously speaking of Canaan, which ultimately would become Israel, the promised land, aka, you know, the land of milk and honey, etc., the place of rest it's referred to as well. But what we recognize for us in the new covenant is it's not a physical piece of real estate that God's calling us to, or a country. Even though it can include that, that's not the primary purpose of it. Go to Australia. We received a call to come to Australia, absolutely. But that wasn't the reason why we left. we walked away from a lot of things. We gave up some significant ministry opportunities, to be very honest. And it wasn't easy when that's put before you. Hey, here you go, this massive ministry opportunity, at least on two occasions. And the Lord said, no, this is not my will. Build what I've called you to. And on that note, let me just unpack that, because I mentioned this in the book. Our story is very simple. The Lord spoke to me a few years ago. I was ministering, speaking to the staff in a chapel service at a very large ministry. I'll just tell you, it was Reinhard Bonnke's ministry. So I was speaking to his staff in a chapel service. I had the opportunity to do that on a few occasions. That morning when I arrived at their offices in Orlando, Florida, I actually just was a bit early and no one was there yet. So I just took my Bible, grabbed it, and I opened it. And when I opened it, I looked at it, and here in Romans chapter 15, it says, don't build on another man's foundation. Don't preach the gospel. Okay. And the Lord spoke to me that day, and initially he said to me, I've called you not to build on another man's foundation. So I thought, so you're calling me to go to unreached people groups. And I believe in that. We need to be intentional about going to unreached people groups. But the Lord, and I did after that, God opened up a door shortly after that to go to an unreached place in the world, and I was able to do that. But, and I've done that since that, several times since then. But the Lord made it very clear recently, when I say recently, in the past few years, what I'm actually calling you to do is not build on another man's foundation. So we moved from Texas to Melbourne, Australia. We were part of a ministry there on staff at a significant church. And there was an upheaval that took place. And I mentioned that in the book without getting into details. And that upheaval resulted in a scattering. And for Lynn and I, we sought the Lord. And the Lord spoke to us one day and he said, I'm moving you in a new direction. Your assignment is ending. And we began to pray. And then a few days later, maybe a week later, again, early morning, I'm alone with the Lord as I do, and I'm praying, and I open my Bible, and this time I look down, and it's Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 6. In the NLT, it actually says this, and I'm paraphrasing. It says, my brothers were angry with me. They forced me to work in their vineyard. I was not able to look after myself, my own vineyard. And that same day, someone that we know from Western Australia sent a message, not knowing anything about this. And the message was essentially, you can build something for someone else, or you can build what God's called you to do. And I know that for some of us, we're called to be part of another ministry, and we're called to be very in a supporting role, right? We need multiple people. That's the way the church operates. That's the way ministries function. But the Lord said to me, this is not your calling. Your calling is to build what I have called you to do. And can I say that that calling is Awake Nations? And we started off doing that, and things were going well. We actually saw some progress. We're traveling, went to many nations, did a lot of things. Under the auspices of Awake Nations, there was some very specific things God began to show us. So we were on that journey and doing some of those things. But then we received this prophetic word when I was preaching in Brazil. You have many sons and daughters in Australia. Well, we had already pastored for 5 years in Perth, left Australia, lost our visa in the process, but went to Dallas, Texas. We're living there. COVID hit. It was crazy. But God is still opening doors, still blessing us. Crazy miracles happened, like next level miracles financially. Other things took place that sustained us during that time. And then I'm in Brazil preaching. I get that prophetic word about Australia. And Lynn and I had already been sensing that the Lord was bringing us back to Australia. And we went, oh my gosh, did we leave prematurely? Did we miss the will of the Father? And we just said, Lord, you're so good. You're so merciful. Even if we did, and you're calling us back, and this is you, then clearly you're giving us another opportunity, a second chance. So we're like, okay, Father, that's your will. Make a way. We're not going to try to force anything. Just make a way. So a few things happened. We didn't try to push open any doors, make anything take place. And then one day I receive a message. And the message was from a pastor in Australia. And he said, hey, we're having a conference on this date, and we'd love for you to come and be one of the speakers. And so it ended up, we did that. And there was so much resistance for us returning. That's another story for another time. But we ended up coming to Australia. And then we were offered a position on staff at a church, which we accepted. It was a great opportunity, great position. And then the upheaval happened, right, as I mentioned. But they helped us again to get our visa. We're now permanent residents in Australia. Next year, we qualify for citizenship. So this is the journey that we were on. But God told me, he said, listen, I've called you to build something. You need to build what I've called you to build. You've been working in others' vineyards. And there was a season for that. I believe God used it, not necessarily out of his will. But he's saying, now I've called you to build something. I've given you vision. I've given you apostolic strategy and understanding. And it's time. Build something for the next generation. I was actually going to show the video, and to be honest, I've just forgot about it. But when we were preaching in Texas, or we were visiting a church, we weren't even preaching there in Texas, massive church, on fire for God. There was a prophet there, and the prophet called us out, and he began to prophesy over us. He had no idea. And he said, I'm sending you to a people. I see it's another people, and you're going to be part of a family, and you're going to raise up sons and daughters. Same word. Almost. And you're going to be part of that. And then he prophesied that in, so this would have been in 2022, probably around November or something. And he prophesied that in March of 2023, we're going to have a special gift. Well, that's when our visa was issued to return to Australia. It was actually in March of 2023. So God was clearly speaking, and he wanted us to come. And so we came, and we began to be obedient, do what he called us to do. And then he said, hey, I saw this coming. I knew this was going to happen. And I've not been caught off guard. And I'm going to use this for good. Going back to Romans 8:28, I'll turn around and I'll use this for good. So the question here is, do we love God? If we do, we obey his commandments, right, from our heart. But are we called according to his purpose? Yes and no. The calling is from him. The calling of God is irrevocable. It's without repentance. He has a calling for your life. He's got something specific for you to do. I'm not just talking about an assignment. That's part of it. You can have multiple assignments. But there's a calling. And if you are cooperating with that calling and you're saying, yes, Lord, like we said in the beginning, I want to do your will. Yes, Lord, I'm ready to do what you've called me to do. Then you can have assurance that he's working all things together for good. And so the journey is something that actually is forming us. It's moving us forward. We're not stuck. And ultimately, the journey, though, is not the destination, though. And that's what I want to say. The journey is not the destination. Journey can be long. Journey can be extended by us, like Israel in the wilderness. It wasn't God's desire that they spend 40 years and that one generation die. It was never his intention, his plan. But because of their disobedience and what they did, they tested God 10 times, is what it says. Then God said, no, this generation is not going in. Now, again, that's speaking of a generation in a unique context. It's not speaking to you or to me in the sense of what we're called to do. So what we have to recognize is that God has a plan. He has a journey, but ultimately that plan on that journey lead to a few different things. And I want to touch on these because this is where a lot of people have missed what it means to be in the will of God. And as it relates to our destiny, our purpose, our calling, many have a skewed perception of that, a skewed understanding of that. Oh, God's called me to be this amazing person on a platform, and maybe he has, but that's not the sign of ultimate favor and obedience, right? So that's not it, like whether I'm in the will of God or not. So that clearly wasn't what happened to Jesus. He was betrayed. He did preach to the multitudes, but he was also rejected and went through so much, but he was obedient to the Father and lived according to the will of the Father. He said, I didn't come down from heaven to earth to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me in John 4. And then he actually says later, he says, you know, the one who's with me, the one who sent me is with me. He's not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. John 8:29. So there's that calling to do that. So I like to look at the story of Israel being called out of Egypt, going into the wilderness, because it's so powerful, okay? And the promised land was the promised land because God made the promise. That's what he desired. So when we talk about the promised land, we're not saying that every believer is promised a trouble-free life, financial abundance, or a particular geographical location. Israel's land promise has a unique covenantal place in Scripture, and you've got to understand that, okay, and the theocracy, etc. But the pattern teaches us something about the ways of God. God brings his people out in order to bring them in. He delivers us from bondage so that we can belong to him. Guys, write this down. We can belong to him. We can serve his purpose and become established in the place of our assignment. I want to say that again. These three things, that we belong to him. Wow. Serve his purpose and become established in the place of our assignment. This is so important. So Deuteronomy chapter 8 in particular tells the remarkable story. All of Deuteronomy, but chapter 8 we're going to look at here, is Moses speaks to a people standing on the verge of a new season. Have you ever been there? You're standing on the verge of a new season. Maybe you're there right now, right? And after 40 years in the wilderness, they're about to cross over. But before they move forward, Moses tells them to look back. Wow. Look back and remember how God has led you, how God humbled you, tested you, provided for you. And he says, and taught them to live by his word. So this is like Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 4. So things would be different once they crossed the Jordan. The wilderness lessons were preparing them for the responsibilities of inheritance. And here's something to help us understand this even more profoundly. The more powerful the purpose, okay, the more profound the preparation process. The more powerful the purpose, the more profound the preparation process. So if you're competing in sport at a certain level in sports, and you, there may be like minimal training involved, right? But then you go to the Olympics, whoa, the training, the preparation, that's at another level. And this is true for those who've been obedient and whom God has called. Will we train ourselves? Will we cooperate with the Lord, right? So we have to understand that there's a destination. A lot of times we hear the journey, and the journey is important, but ultimately there has to come a point where we cross over into the promised land, right? Where we take possession of what God has. So think of it this way. Imagine you plan a road trip with your friends, and you gather supplies, you pack your bags, you load the car, and you set out with great excitement. But there's only one problem. No one knows where they're going. No one has, there's not been a decision on the destination. So you may be moving, but you cannot know where, whether or not you're making progress. So without a destination, movement becomes aimless. So like Israel, we are on a journey. Our destination isn't a modern geographical Canaan. Scripture points us toward a spiritual reality, okay? And we'll look at this. There's a lot of different scriptures, but let me mention that ultimately this is about rest. So if you read Joshua 21, 43 through 45, it talks about how the Lord gave to Israel all the land which he swore to give their fathers. They possessed it and lived in it. And then it says in the next part, the Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he swore to their fathers. Listen to this, that's about the promise. Not a man of all their enemies stood before them. Wow, he defeated their enemies. The Lord delivered all the enemies into their hand. Nothing failed. Listen to this. Nothing failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Wow. So powerful. So this ultimately is what Canaan typified. Canaan as this type and shadow of the spiritual reality that we have in Christ. And there's much more that we could say about this, but ultimately this rest is found in Christ, and it's part of the new covenant. So when Israel moves into the promised land and possesses it, and it says they dwell there, it's the Hebrew word that comes from yashab. And that word means to sit down, to remain, to settle, or to inhabit. So it's not about vacation, it's not about visiting, it's not vacation, it's vocation, it's a calling. It's not visitation, it's what? Habitation. It's a place where we stay, and God blesses us, and so on. So a couple of things I'll point out, three things specifically. First of all, when we enter into the fullness of God, we enter into rest, the promised land, whatever you want to call it, what we experience is the fullness of God's provision. We experience the fullness of God's provision and the fulfillment of his promises. So you can read Deuteronomy 8, 6 through 10, where it talks about God promised them and blessed them and prospered them, etc. And the fulfillment of God's purpose or his promises is found also in Deuteronomy, etc. And then ultimately, it's a place of permanence in the sense of executing God's purposes for your life. Okay, so you're living out what he's called you to do, his purposes, and it's a place where you're permanently doing that. I love 2 Samuel 7, 8 through 11. David, who was obviously a type of Christ, foreshadowing of Jesus, actually was called to give Israel rest and to establish them. So 2 Samuel 7, 8 through 11, now therefore tell my servant David this, the Lord of armies says, I took you from the sheep pen, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people, over Israel. I've been with you wherever you went, and I cut off all your enemies from before you. That's another part of covenant as well, is provision, purpose, promises, and even protection. So this is something that's really important. And then he says, I'll make you a great name like the name of the great ones who are on the earth. Listen to this. I will appoint a place for my people Israel and plant them that they may dwell in their own place and be moved no more. Be moved no more as the children of wickedness will not afflict them, etc., etc. And it says, I will cause you to rest from all your enemies is what it says. All right. So there's a lot here, and we're going to have to come back. I hope you will join us for part two. But let me just encourage you to look at this. Like, in your specific journey, where are you at in the process right now? And I'll close with this. Okay, here you are. Where are you on the journey? Here's 12 questions. You may want to write these down. Okay, where are you on the journey? Let's pause and just look at some direct questions. We'll just take the next minute or two to reflect on this. What has God called you out of? Feel free to write this down, to journal it, or at least a question, and you can do it later at your convenience. Secondly, what has he called you into? What has God called you out of, and what has he called you into? And three, have you mistaken a halfway place for your destination? Have you settled in Haran, where God's called you to Canaan? Okay. Have you mistaken a halfway place for your destination? So the fourth question is essentially the same. Are you living in your own Haran, no longer where you were, but not yet where God told you to go? And we're not talking about geographical shifts right now so much. It may involve that, but in terms of what we just looked at, what rest represents, possessing Canaan, the fulfillment of his promises, you know, living out his purpose, experiencing all that he wants to give you, his provision, his prosperity, his blessing. Again, not for selfish reasons, but to execute what he wants to do. I've had prophetic words, honestly, by very, very genuine people. Like, you know, I know what it's like to get a prophetic word from someone that maybe the love of money is an issue by their lifestyle. But I've had prophetic words from those who are very genuine, very humble, and who clearly aren't living materialistic lifestyles. They're not, you know, the love of money isn't an issue for them, about God blessing our ministry in a very generous way. And I know what that's about. I mean, I was in a meeting. I have to tell you this story. I forgot all about it. I'm in a meeting preaching in a church. Again, this was in Orlando, Florida. Interesting. And when I'm there, different church, preaching, this man walks up to me and he hands me a card. And his business card has a picture of an airplane on it. And he introduces himself and he tells me his name and he says, what I do is I'm a pilot. And he said, I would love to be a blessing to you in your ministry and fly you to different countries. And gratis pro bono. And I was like, this is crazy. I was on a radio show. This is before podcasting. I'm on a radio show. And the guy who's interviewing me, and we're talking about prophetic, he prophesies over me that God is going to open the door for you to have access to aircraft, a plane, so you can travel to different nations. And literally, guys, like a month later, I walk into this church and he says that. Okay. For some reason, we never stayed in touch. And about 4 or 5 years later, I was sitting at home one day and I remembered that. And I went, whoa, why haven't we connected? Why haven't we stayed in contact? And I hadn't heard from this guy forever. And I thought, I got to find this business card and reach out to him. So I'm searching throughout my home, not able to locate it. Later that day, or perhaps the next day, I go out to my car and I open the trunk, or the boot, as I say in Australia, and I'm going in there to get something. And when I open the boot, I look down, and no kidding, guys, that business card was sitting right there in the trunk of my car. I'm like, what? Like, 4 years, I've been in the, you know, obviously in the car and many, many times, and it was never there, but it was sitting right there. So long story short, we ended up reconnecting and so on. And nothing ever came out of it. That part is still a mystery, but I think it's a promise as well. So God knows. So there's things that we hear and we receive from God and we're still contending for, don't we? We still have to do that. So I'm not fully into the place where I'm experiencing all that God has, but I believe I'm on the journey. And I believe that God has more, but I want to press through. I want to do my part to ensure it happens. I don't want to remain stuck. So there's specific things that God will say to you. He'll give you revelation. We'll talk about that more next time. Okay, is there something that ended that you're still trying to recover from? Like you're actually going, hang on a minute, I want that back. And God's like, no, that season's finished. Let go. Let go of it. Let go of that relationship, that situation, whatever it is. Could be a job, whatever it may be. Are you tending the vineyard God gave you, or are you spending all your strength building something he never assigned to you? That's the key. It's not whether or not you're helping another ministry. that's not necessarily everyone's calling, right, to have their own ministry, but we have to be part of something. But ultimately, are you tending a vineyard that God gave you, or are you spending all your strength building something he never assigned to you? And if you're in a state of confusion, disorientation right now, always remember this one thing. What did God say before the confusion began? Number 8, which relationships strengthen your obedience and which relationships keep pulling you back toward what is familiar, what you're called to walk away from? I'm telling you, soul ties, the enemy uses them to keep you attached to things that he wants you to let go of and move forward. That's part of the scattering right now. Is God is moving people out of situations, not because they're bad necessarily, but because he has something else, something better. Are you facing resistance that must be overcome or redirection that must be obeyed? Number 10, what is the next responsible step you already know you need to take? Don't worry about the whole plan, next step, right? Just be obedient to the next step. He'll show you more. He'll reveal more. Is this season a place of God's formation? Or have discouragement and misalignment caused you to stop moving? Or I might even add, stop growing. You're just no longer leaning in. You become discouraged. Maybe you're not praying. You're not digging into the Word. You've withdrawn from community. And then lastly, number 12, have you measured success by visibility and recognition rather than faithfulness to your assignment? This is key. This is critical, this one. Have you measured success by visibility and recognition rather than faithfulness to your assignment? So we next time we'll dive into specifically what it looks like for us in terms of discerning. Because I in the book I say this, I said there's a difference between knowing really the resistance of the enemy and the insistence of the Father. Let me close with a story. This is in the book. So I'm in Fiji and the UK. And there's a reason why, because I was in Africa in a country known as Liberia, and Liberia had just gone through a civil war, and I was preaching there after the war had just ended. And I met a man whose family was originally from Fiji, and he was in the UK military. So he's in the military for the UK. He was stationed in Liberia. That's the context, as a peacekeeper. So he ends up, says, hey, you need to go there. I'll be there when you come to Liberia. Let's meet, let's talk. So we do that. He begins to tell me a story. He said, hey, I'm actually being persecuted by the certain leaders or whatever. He said, they're giving me a hard time because of my faith in Christ. That was his view of the story. And he said, I'm actually fighting and pushing back. And I heard the Lord say so clearly, he said, tell him that he's not to resist. He's to submit to God because you are going to go back to your country. It's not going to work. If you try to fight and push back, you won't win. You won't be victorious. You'll lose and you'll end up in your country. I spoke that word to him, and can I say that he listened, but he wasn't super happy. About 8 months later, he messaged me. I hadn't heard from him. And he said, I'm back in Fiji. And he said, I've actually went through a court and the whole deal, and it was all in vain. He said, and so exactly what the Lord said through you came to pass. I'm back here in Fiji. So sometimes my point is this. What we think is the resistance of the enemy is the insistence of the Father. The insistence is walk away, give it up. This isn't my will. Don't fight this battle. You're not called to this battle. Walk away. And Paul had clearly a time, Acts 16, right, where he wanted to go to Asia Minor, preach the gospel, and the Spirit of the Lord forbade him. But then later on, we read in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, he talks about Satan hindered us. So we see the two examples there. How do we discern between when it's God and the Father's insisting, nope, you're not going, or the enemy's resisting us and we need to pray through, we need to break through, we just need to press. Next session, we'll dive into that and we'll look at that. So I hope these things have helped you.
Join Glenn Bleakney on The Making of a Prophet as we explore the hidden process God uses to prepare, refine, and empower those he has called. Join the community at themakingofaprophet.org.